Robin Olivera's debut novel, My Name is Mary Sutter, chronicles the struggles of a young Albany midwife to become a surgeon by first working as a Civil War nurse and eventually going on to become one of this country's first female doctors. It's published by Viking, and I'm very pleased to welcome Ms. Olivera to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Aren't you a nurse yourself?
I am. I'm a registered nurse.
Did this book begin as research into the history of your profession?
No, not really. Actually, it began with the character of Mary Sutter appearing to me, and I did some research then into women in medicine, because when she came as a vision, she was wearing period dress and looking into a microscope and surrounded by these books. And I studied then about women in medicine and how women became to be doctors. And that's when I learned that nursing, modern nursing as we know it, started in the Civil War.
So do you have these kinds of visions often?
No. That was a first.
And you decided to do it at the Civil War. Actually, the Civil War is not long after Florence Nightingale, isn't it?
Not long after.
Is that where nursing actually began as a career?
Absolutely, it did. And Florence Nightingale, for those of listeners who don't know about her, she went to the Crimean War. She was a British woman. She went to the Crimean War and discovered that the hygiene was such a problem that she proposed to the generals that she take care of these boys by just cleaning things up, basically, and keeping things clean. And the number of people who died began to decline. And so she wrote a book called Notes on Nursing, which became very famous in the United States.
Were there any nurses in the U.S. before the Civil War?
There were nurses that were listed in city directories, but they were mostly women that you could hire to come sit by an infirm relative. But there were no nursing schools in America at all.
So women in medicine were mostly midwives?
Women who were in medicine were mostly midwives, and women actually controlled midwifery up until about the 1850s or 1860s.
Did you have any real-life model for Mary Sutter?
I did not. I wanted to imagine her experience rather than chronicle the experience of a woman who emerged.
And she starts out as a midwife. Her mother was a midwife as well.
Yes.
In fact, all of the women in Mary's family were midwives going back several generations.
Yes.
Was that a common thing, mothers teaching their daughters the profession?
Yes, midwifery was sort of a homespun profession, and that was how they learned. They followed their mothers around.
But this is not out of need. Her father is a railroad magnate.
Yes. Mary's just a very curious young woman, and she wanted to be a midwife. She wanted to learn as much as she could.
And so was it acceptable in the 19th century for respectable women, women in the upper echelons of society, to work as midwives?
Absolutely not. They were actually the exception. Midwives were respected, but generally the women came from the lower classes.
And you've set this book in Albany, New York, because that's where you come from?
Yes, I grew up in Albany, outside of Albany.
This is one of the cities where you can still get a real sense of past history.
Absolutely. The cobblestones are still on the streets, and the beautiful brownstones still line the parks. And
when we meet Mary, she's going to a doctor's office to ask him to take her on as an apprentice. Was that a common route to becoming a doctor?
It was. You could take a six-month run of courses at a medical school, or you could apprentice to a doctor, and sometimes people did both.
Were women accepted as students in medical schools?
No. For the most part, they were not, and Albany Medical College didn't admit their first woman student until 1912. Elizabeth Blackwell, who was one of the country's first medical doctors, only got into medical school as a joke. They all thought that the admission application was a joke, and they put it to the vote of the male community, and they all laughingly said, yes, let the woman in, and then she showed up for class.
So were all doctors in America before that male?
Yes, they were.
Although I assume there were some women who were practicing medicine without a license, because sometimes the need is great and there's no doctor nearby.
Well, I'm certain there were women who used herbs, and certainly I'm sure that some people saw midwives as nurses, as doctors.
On her visit to that doctor, she winds up delivering a baby while the doctor looks on helpless. Male doctors did not deliver babies. It was all done by midwives.
Right about the 1850s and 1860s, the profession was beginning to switch, of obstetrics, was beginning to switch from midwives to physicians. And the reason for that was because doctors controlled chloroform and ether, and women were terrified about going through labor, and doctors convinced women that they could put them out and they wouldn't have to experience any of the terrors of labor, and that's when the big switch started.
My guest is Robin Olivera, has written a novel called My Name is Mary Sutter. It's published by Viking. When the doctor refuses to train her, Mary goes to Washington, D.C. to work as a nurse at the Union Hotel Hospital. Why was that a better place than Albany for her to realize her ambition to become a doctor?
Well, there was no opportunity for her in Albany. She had exhausted all her possibilities of places to go to medical school or anybody to train her. And Dorothea Dix had called for nurses to come down to Washington and work. And she's leaving behind a broken heart. And it was, I think, in many ways, an impulsive decision on Mary's part.
And who was Dorothea Dix?
Dorothea Dix was named the first female superintendent of Army nurses by Lincoln. But before that, she was well known in the United States for reform of prisons and the conditions under which the mentally ill were treated.
Her circular reads in part, "All nurses are required to be very plain-looking women. Their dresses must be brown or black, with no bows, no curls, no jewelry, and no hoop skirts." Why didn't she want attractive women to become nurses?
Oh, it was a big problem. Everybody was worried about young women in the hospitals and the shenanigans they might get up to with the men all in the beds. It was just simply a custom that nobody could see past that.
And it also said no women under 30 need apply.
Yeah, she was worried about the same thing, that the soldiers would fall in love, or that they would fall in love, or women would come, the young women would come looking for husbands.
But Mary is under 30.
She is under 30.
So she just goes to the hospital and starts working, even though she doesn't. She can't sign up with Dorothea Dix.
She can't sign up with Dorothea Dix. Dorothea Dix rejects her. And so she ends up, she's very determined, and she ends up just going shopping around, shopping her services around.
Were things so disorganized, so desperate, that anyone could just show up and begin working on their own?
Yes, many times that happened. And after the battles, the whole country was completely, the divided country was completely unprepared for the war, medically and politically. And so after the battles, thousands and thousands of men flooded into places like Frederick, Maryland, and Washington, D.C., and women just showed up to help.
And she winds up doing things that nobody would have expected her to have had an opportunity to do otherwise, especially like performing amputations. Was that what doctors mostly did to save soldiers' lives during the Civil War?
They had to, because germ theory wasn't widely known, and so infection would set in. Early on, it wasn't gangrene. Gangrene developed as the war went on because it's a specific microbe. But there was no way to save the legs. The bones were shattered. The wounds were open. The wound care was impossible. And so they just ended up doing the signature surgery of the war.
Well, this is something that has happened with women in wartime in general. They have been given all sorts of opportunities that they might not have been given otherwise, simply because there was such a great need.
Yes, absolutely. I think sometimes war tends to liberate women, you know, especially in a country like ours that's based on liberty. In other places, you know, war is terrible for women. But here in the United States, while the men were off busy doing something else, the women were able to step into roles they wouldn't ordinarily have.
I'm not going to go into the details of her life and her love life and such, because that's the reason people read these books. But I was interested in the fact that Abraham Lincoln appears as a character in this book.
Yes.
You had to invent Abraham Lincoln. That has to be rather difficult. That's like trying to invent William Shakespeare and and put words into his mouth.
Well, what I did for that was I studied his primary documentation, anything that he wrote. And from looking at his writings, I was able to imagine who he was. Yes, was it a little audacious? Maybe it was. But I felt as if I began to know him as a human being. And of course, the more you know President Lincoln, the more you fall in love with him. So it got very easy to write about him.
You're a nurse, and now do you think of yourself as a full-time writer?
I do, yes. I'm not working as a nurse in a hospital any longer.
Are you working on another book?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Would it also be about medicine?
It is not about medicine. It's about something completely different, which is difficult for me to share because as soon as I let it out of the bag, I feel like I've lost it.
Meanwhile, we have this book called My Name is Mary Sutter. It is published by Viking. My great thanks to Robin Olivera for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.